tapping and knee slapping you want while that song's playing, and they'll pray for the next couple of weeks, so that'll be good. Can any of you remember back to the formative years of your childhood when your parents were attempting to instill important social graces into your behavior? Well, growing up, I learned quickly that there was a verbal response that my parents expected me to repeat on cue that I rarely thought of on my own. Now, fortunately, my parents made it one of their top priorities that I not only knew, but I knew how to implement it into my daily life. Any guesses of the two words that they were wanting me to catch hold of? Thank you. Yes, yes. And they worked hard. And I just want to say, I am definitely not your parent, but one of my roles here at ACC is to serve as the church's CRO, that's Chief Reminding Officer. And so I'm going to be doing some reminding here today. Welcome to Academy Christian Church. You braved all the snow to be able to get here today. That was incredible. We're glad if you're in person or if you're joining us online or over at our Westside campus. We're starting a brand new three-part series called Getting to Gratitude. And I'm just afraid that none of us is going to get there by accident. Very few, if any, actually start there. If we want to get to gratitude, we're going to have to be thoughtful, we're going to have to be intentional, and we're going to have to be purposeful. Every year here, we usually spend about 3 weeks talking about the topic of the stewardship of our financial resources and our giving. Now, we usually do that in August. You might have missed it in August because we didn't. We're mixing it up a bit this year just to keep it more interesting. And so I did want to give you a heads up so that you wouldn't think that this was a gratitude series that all of a sudden got hijacked by stewardship. It actually is a stewardship series that's based on gratitude. And really, the reason for bringing gratitude into stewardship is because, in case you really haven't noticed, gratitude does not appear to be really the human default mode of our lives. And we see that, of course, in the necessity of parents needing to remind their children to be thankful, to be grateful over and over again. But you know, there also are, I think, are plenty of adults who seem to be void of gratitude. I think a little bit kind of like the guy who sold pretzels on a street corner for 50 cents a piece. And every day this young lawyer would leave his office building for lunch, and as he would walk by the pretzel stand, he'd leave 2 quarters, but he never ever took a pretzel. And this went on for like 5 years. And even though they never actually spoke, every day he'd leave the 50 cents there. He'd make eye contact and he'd nod in acknowledgement as he walked away without a pretzel. Well, finally, one day the lawyer passed by the stand, laid down his quarters, but this time the pretzel man actually spoke to him. And here's what he said. He said, sir, I so appreciate your business. In fact, you actually are my best customer, but you need to know something. The price of pretzels has gone up to 75 cents. Ungrateful. And you know, when the Apostle Paul was writing to his young apprentice, Timothy, he warned us about this. He said, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. And along with the list of other really terrible things, it says people will be ungrateful. And that's because, let's face it, being ungrateful isn't really that difficult at all, is it? I mean, it's really pretty easy. And I think part of that is because to get to gratitude, you're going to have to deal with entitlement and comparison and then even disappointment. And entitlement, that highlights what I think I deserve compared to what I have, and I find out there's a shortcoming there. Comparison, of course, highlights what others have compared to what I have. And oftentimes we compare upwards and so we have less. And then disappointment highlights the life I have compared to the life that I was expecting to have. And gratitude is just appreciation for what you have, period. Now, the reason we're going to be parking here for 3 weeks is because I really believe if there's one thing that you could do to improve not only the quality of your life,
But even the depth of your faith, it would be to increase the level of your gratitude. I think Max Licato says it pretty well. He says, if it came in a pill form, gratitude would be deemed a miracle cure. And you know, because God understands the power of gratitude in your life, he's actually provided what I would call 15 powerful words that could change your life. Now, there were, back in the first century, some very discouraged and defeated Christ followers who were facing all kinds of difficulties that included persecution, possible death, to whom Paul gave this 15-word instruction. It's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Might be a good verse for all of us to even memorize. He said, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Notice it says, this is God's will for you. You never have to wonder, is this something I probably should be doing? Yes, it's God's will for you. But when you hear Paul say, give thanks in all circumstances, you might be thinking, Paul, are you sure about that? Give thanks in all circumstances? Certainly you're not referring to the circumstances that I happen to be going through in this moment. I mean, I just lost my job. Or maybe we're barely making ends meet. In fact, we're getting behind on our bills. Or my marriage is falling apart. Or my children are driving me crazy. Or my job feels sort of like a dead end. And you could fill in the blank with whatever challenging circumstance you're currently facing. And the thought that's probably going to rise to the top of your mind is, yeah, right. What's there to be thankful about? And that's what I want to remind you today. You got to make an important distinction here. And the distinction is, it's not grateful for all circumstances. It's grateful in those circumstances. Because what I really believe is, it's highly unlikely that you'll get to be thankful for those experiences when you're in the middle of them. It won't be really until you've gotten through them that you've had time to figure out what God was up to. I've shared with you just recently, you know, I've been a pastor for over 40 years, and I've got to say, the last 5 years have been some of the most challenging, painful, and difficult of all of those years. But I got to tell you, now that I can look back, I'd have to say that I'm thankful for what God, through those experiences, did in my heart. And that's because, honestly, God used those experiences to take some rough edges in my life off that had been blind spots to me. And I'm really grateful, as I'm starting to move deeper into my fourth quarter of life, for the softening and the rounding of those rough edges. Because I think it's going to help me be able to more deeply enjoy the time that I have left on this earth. But I was not thankful in those circumstances. In other words, we just got to recognize that the reason you can truly give thanks in those circumstances is because gratitude is an attitude. And it has less to do with our circumstances and more to do with perspective. In other words, it's our perception of our circumstances, because perception makes all the difference. This last week I found this picture and I love this. Look at the little third place guy. Boo-hoo! Woo! What's wrong with first place girl? Something's wrong in the perception there, right? I mean, it's like the man who was dropping off his mother at the airport because she was taking a trip to see some old friends. And so he said to her, hey, Mom, have a good time. To which she replied, now, John, you know perfectly well, I never enjoy having a good time. At least she was honest. See, your attitude has to do with how you choose to think. And let's be honest, there are plenty of things in life that you don't get to choose. Your looks, your height, your skin color, your family, where you were born, getting old, pain, not to mention the weather, natural disasters, traffic, the economy, and so much more. But the one thing every one of you gets to choose is your attitude. And so if we're ever going to get to gratitude as an attitude, we're going to have to recognize that it must be chosen. That's the attitude we have to choose. And what's so interesting to me is while I was preparing for this message, I discovered just yet another example, because I keep finding more and more in the Bible, another example of how God never asks us to do anything that he hasn't first been willing to do or to demonstrate. Just literally to show us what that's all about. Even when it comes to gratitude. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul is teaching about communion and what it means and how it's to be observed and the importance of it. And I want you to notice the words that he says. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed and then tried and then nailed to a cross, bearing the weight of our sin, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread." And what does it say? When he had given what? Thanks. "He broke it and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" See, I think what we need to recognize is that all of us here, we each get to decide something very important. We get to either decide either I'm owed or I'm awed. And notice there's just one letter difference, but they are worlds apart in what they do in your heart. When you're owed, it's going to be hard to be grateful. When you're awed, you're grateful all the time. See, the voice of entitlement says, I deserve. While the voice of gratitude says, man, I am so blessed. Fred DeWitt Van Amber says it very well. He says, "None is more impoverished than the one who has no gratitude. Gratitude is a currency that we can mint for ourselves and spend without fear of bankruptcy." So, gratitude is something that must be chosen. Secondly, it's something that must be cultivated. You know, no matter what our circumstances in life, how much we're struggling or what difficulties we're going through, all of us can find, if we want, something to be grateful for. I know the stock market's going the other way, but if you happen to lose money in the stock market and you still have your family, you can be grateful. If you've lost your job, but you still have your health, you can be grateful. If you can't move your legs, but you could move your arms, you could be grateful. If you've lost a dear loved one, but you can still get out of bed each day and honor his or her memory by the way you live, you can be grateful. It's all perspective. That's why Alphonse Carr says it well. "Some people grumble that roses have thorns. I'm grateful that thorns have roses." And so instead of assessing each day based on the circumstances that are outside of your control, what if you would start evaluating each day based on something that is totally under your control? Your level of gratitude. So here's my recommendation. Why not try to conduct a DGR, which is a daily gratitude review? Maybe you could ask yourself each day, hey, on a scale from 1 to 10, how grateful have I been today? And then just kind of determine, what was your gratitude gradient that day? Was your expression of gratitude low or medium or high? And the goal, obviously, is to raise the level of your gratitude, because honestly, gratitude is a lot like a muscle. The more you exercise it, what happens? The stronger it becomes. The less you use it, the weaker it gets. So keep exercising it. Now, just some simple practices that I've come across. I know a lot of people will start a gratitude journal. And they'll find a just booklet, and every day they'll write down 3 to 5 things that they are grateful for. And if you want a really nice gratitude journal, you just Google gratitude journal. and you'll get hundreds of them, or go on Amazon, whatever you do. Another guy I know by the name of John Gordon said, hey, each day I take a walk of gratitude, and I call it a thank you walk. And so while walking, I practice gratitude and pray. And he said the research shows that you can't be stressed and thankful at the same time. And so he says, when I'm feeling blessed, I am not stressed. And you can also cultivate gratitude by your giving. And since it's a stewardship message, you'd figure I'd bring that up. But we'll talk about that in just a bit. I do want to mention that because it's an attitude, it can be celebrated. Why do you think that gratitude would be God's will for you? Well, because he knows and understands the redeeming power of gratitude in your life, despite the circumstances that you might be facing. In his book, Happiness is a Serious Problem, Dennis Prager writes, there is a secret to happiness, and it's gratitude. All happy people are grateful, and ungrateful people really cannot be happy. We tend to think that it's being unhappy that leads people to complain, but it's truer to say that it's complaining that leads people to becoming unhappy. Become grateful and you will become a much happier person. And I got to tell with you, I'm literally seeing this very thing played out before my very eyes as I've watched my 91-year-old mother navigate some of the most really challenging experiences in life. And they're the kind of experiences that you only get to experience when you're in your 9th or 10th decade of life. And she's in her 10th. And honestly, when I see what she's had to go through, if she wanted to, she could be angry, she could be bitter, she could be depressed, she could even be grumpy. But what I've seen transform her right in front of me is that she's choosing to be grateful instead. And you can hear it in her voice, this incredible softness, this sense of peace. Even after the recent loss of her loving husband of nearly 69 years that she experienced in September. And folks, you know what? I've seen what the other options look like, and gratitude is where I want to be. And so I know I need to get serious about it, and so do you. And so how much of your day is governed by gratitude? Because what I believe is a byproduct of gratitude is gratitude. Now, you've probably never heard that word before. You know why? It's because I made it up. And when I make up a word, I can make up the definition, which I did. And the definition of gratitude is a perspective of joy and contentment that permeates a grateful heart. That's gratitude. And I think it's impossible for disappointment, discouragement, anger, depression, or many other negative, impactful emotions to coexist in a grateful heart. And I actually witnessed this firsthand in the life of a woman who was a part of one of the churches that I served back in Iowa. And she is someone that I never want to ever forget. Her name was Leona. And while she's since gone to be with the Lord, she experienced some of really the most incredible heartache and physical pain of almost anyone I've ever known. She grew up in a Christian home in rural Iowa. She married a godly man, and they had 3 children together, 2 boys and 1 girl. And her husband was a fairly wealthy farmer who also had a passion for flying airplanes, which you need that to have that as your hobby. But tragically, one of those flights ended in a crash. And her husband and her daughter and herself were on the plane. The husband and the daughter did not survive. And Leona survived, but barely. She had about 52 bones in her body that were fractured. And as you might be able to imagine, her recovery was long and painful, both physically and emotionally. But her faith was anchored in Christ, and she continued to trust God and give him thanks in her circumstances. Well, if that wasn't enough, one of her 2 remaining sons, who even felt a call to go into ministry, was attending Ozark Christian College. And yet, when he was flying home in a plane to be with his mom on Christmas, his plane crashed and he also died. And these events took place years before I ever knew Leona. But by the time I met her, she must have been in her 70s. And she wasn't able to get around very well and was pretty much homebound. And I would call her to find a good time to be able to go and see her. But there were times when, because of the amount of pain she was suffering, she'd have to call and say, Brian, you'll have to come at another time. And when I was able to remember to visit her, what I remember the most about hearing from Leona were expressions, honestly, of gratitude. Wow, Brian, God has been so good to me. I am so blessed. I am so thankful. And she would say that even while she was walking into the room to meet me in pain, using a walker because of how bad her body had been broken in the crash. Every step for her was painful. And you know what? She could have easily become a bitter, angry person, and no one really would have blamed her. But instead of grumbling about her circumstances, she chose instead gratitude. And it obviously did not change her circumstances, but it definitely changed her. And being grateful is not going to change your circumstances any more than being ungrateful does. But it clearly changes your perspective, which in turn alters your outlook, which then transforms your entire demeanor. See, because Leona chose to be grateful, she saw God everywhere. But when you really aren't grateful, you're going to have a hard time seeing God anywhere. And that's why I think the difference between becoming bitter or better is really, it's that attitude of gratitude. Which brings us to the final thing we want to look at today. And because it's an attitude, it must be conveyed. In order for gratitude to actually be activated so that you can experience its benefits, it's got to be expressed. Now, every year we talk about stewardship. And when we do, I know it makes some people uncomfortable, but only if they don't understand the motive behind it. Most people think that the church is just after their money. But it's really because all of us struggle with the concept of stewardship. And it's giving that actually becomes the cure or balance that keeps our money and our possessions in the proper perspective. Because Jesus was clear, you can't serve both God and money. That just doesn't work. And so you got to know that the biblical principle of giving tithes and offerings is intended to acknowledge God as our source. We're saying, God, this ultimately came from you, and so I need to be grateful for that. Now, let me ask you, when was the last time when you were either paying bills, or I know today, maybe you're just checking your account online to see if they'd automatically paid your bills, but you stopped and you said, you know, thank you, God, for all the resources that you have made available to me. Honestly, I can't remember the last time I did that. But I recognize that I need to. But you know when I do remember to thank God for the resources that he's given me? And I'm old school. It's when I write out my tithe check every week. I'm like, wow, God, thanks for how you have provided. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, Paul wrote this. He said, remember this, whoever sows sparingly is going to reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously is going to reap generously. Each one of you really should give what you've decided in your heart to give, but not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves what kind of givers? Cheerful givers. You know, the only way to really be a cheerful giver is when your giving flows out of gratitude. See, the attitude of gratitude, honestly, it's indispensable when it comes to your giving. And so, this is my silly dad joke for the day, so just be ready. Just in case you're wondering what gratitude in stewardship looks like, I've done a little graph here for you. And if you look closely, you'll see gratitude in stewardship. Here's what I know. You can give without being grateful. You really can, but you cannot be grateful without giving. And this is where we talk about gratitude showing up in our stewardship. Giving tithes and offerings is a biblical principle that sometimes people in the New Testament era, they have a hard time swallowing. But I want to remind you that Malachi, which is the final book in the Old Testament, it's only 400 years until Jesus was to come on the scene, and yet still there God is encouraging his people to demonstrate their recognition of his ownership and their gratitude by making sure that they were giving the tithe. And it says that much in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. He says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this," he says, "and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it." And what's interesting to me is God could say, "You got to give it all to me because it's all mine." He doesn't say that. He says, "You don't have to give it all to me, but you do need to give an amount that is significant enough to show real gratitude." And so God's provided a specific way to maintain a spirit of gratitude for his provision through tithing, which is returning 10% of what he's given to you. Now, tithing is what helps you keep in place a recognition of your stewardship while reminding you to be grateful because you're recognizing that God is ultimately your provider. And I'll be honest with you, it's often harder to tithe when you have less resources, because it's more a matter of faith at that point. You're like, "I can't pay all my bills now. If I give to God, will I have enough even left over?" And some of you might be there, but I think where most of us probably would lie would be, I've got to say, it's going to be more difficult to give when you're more prosperous if you lose that attitude of gratitude. And it can happen. A pastor told of a man in a church where he had served who once made a covenant with the former pastor that they would tithe 10% of their income every year. And so they were both young, and really neither of them had much money. But things eventually changed, and so the man tithed $1,000 the year that he earned $10,000. He tithed $10,000 the year that he earned $100,000. And then he tithed $100,000 the year that he made $1,000,000. But it was the year that he made $6 million that he could just not bring himself to write a check for $600,000. To the church. And so he called his former pastor, who had long since moved to another church, and asked to see him. And when he walked into the pastor's office, he said to him, "Hey, how to get out of this tithing covenant. It has to stop. It was fine when my tithe was $1,000, but I can't afford $600,000. You got to do something." Well, the pastor just automatically drops to his knees to the floor and prays silently for a long time. And finally, the guy says, hey, what are you doing? Are you praying that God is going to let me out of my covenant to tithe?" And the guy said, No. "I'm praying for God to reduce your income back to the level where $1,000 will be your tithe." What happened to that man? He obviously got to a point where he left gratitude out of his giving. And so I want to ask you today, what about you? Because I hope you recognize giving is a means, not an end. The importance of giving is what it does in you and the reason behind it. It reveals who you're serving as well as your understanding of stewardship. It expresses gratitude. Now, if you're here today and you're thinking, "You know what, my heart wants to tithe, but I have a hard time getting my head to give me permission to do so." Every year, we'll usually offer what we call just a 90-day money-back tithing challenge. I'll say, if you need some help because it's too risky for you, you can just say this: "Out of gratitude to God for his provision in my life, I commit to give back to him the first 10% of my income each month for the next 90 days. And then if at the end of that time, I haven't experienced the blessing of God's provision for my daily needs, I can request the entire amount I've given to be returned, and we will gladly return it. But I'm not that concerned about it, because God says actually you can test him in that and see." And maybe that would help you today if you need to get to that place of gratitude. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for your provision for us. We live in a world where you've provided so many good things to keep us alive, but not just keep us alive, but for our enjoyment, satisfaction, and fulfillment, and blessing, and comfort. And we need to be thankful. I pray that you'd help me, that you'd help all of us to get to a place of gratitude. and then be able to experience just the blessing that comes from that, beyond the blessing of your provision. Thank you, God, for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.